Bismillah. And now let's listen as we explain the meaning of the Shahada to the people in simple English terms. Bismillah. And now let's listen as we explain the meaning of the Shahada to the people in simple, easy to understand English terms.
If we go back and look at it, I want to break it down in from Arabic to English. La ilaha illa Allah. La means no. And you can find this out real easy. Go to any Arabic home where the mother has children around the house, and you're going to hear right away. When the children go to this and they start to get to this, the mother's saying, la, 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 la. So right away you're going to know it means no, 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 no. The same as you would hear it in English. The same as you hear it in any language. You can just listen to the mother talking to the children. You can figure out what that word is. So la means no. Ilaha. Ilaha is something worshipped. Anything which is worshipped is the object of affection or worship, and this is an ilaha. In Arabic, you can make this plural, which is awliha. That is the plural of ilah. And you can make it female or male. It's not difficult. But when it becomes Allah, which we spell A-L-L-A-H in English, in Arabic it's Alif Lam Lam Ha. So it does have two L's in it. But, you know, in Arabic there are no vowels. They're all consonants. So you have to know how to use them. How to use the consonants. You wind up with this, and it's really beautiful because when it's Allah, you cannot make it plural. There is no way in Arabic to make Allah more than one. It's just always going to be one. Also, you can't give it the inflection of being male or female. You can't. It's Allah. Now, if I said, okay, that means Allah can never be more than one, and Allah can never be he or she, immediately you could go to the Quran and you can say, well, what page do you want me to quote you from? Because I will show you right here in the Quran where it says, we. And I just popped the Quran open just now to Surah Al-Zariyat, which is 51, if you go by the numbers. Ayah number 35. And it says, real clear, in the translation, so we brought out from therein the believers. And the we is capitalized. So we, and it has a big W on it, we meaning Allah. فَأَخْرَجْنَا. And when you say رَجْنَا, we brought. أَخْرَجْنَا, we brought. Because the na at the end means we. And also in the Quran you will find when it says nahnu, and this means we. So you say, Sheikh, I mean, you know, you're a nice guy and everything, but it says right here in Arabic and English, we. And how did you say that when Allah himself is saying we, why are you saying that Allah can't be more than one? Well, because Arabic, like English, has a royal we, that the king, the majesty, the one in charge of everything, has this respect given that he, when he speaks of himself, he says we. And a king says, we declare the following decree. And there's nobody up there but him. He means me. But he says we. Now another example of that is when you, in English, if you know English language, you know when there's something is by itself, you say is. But when it's plural, you say are. This is, these are, that is, those are. And when it's a single by itself, he is and she is. But when it's a group, they are. However, when I speak directly to you, what do I say? You are. A person by themselves, single. I don't mean single as in not married. Single, you say you are. But when you are talking about yourself, you don't say I is, you say I am, and that is again plural. So This is the respect given to Allah for the number. Now, let's see, okay, it's fine. But again, we can go to almost any page in the Quran where Allah is being mentioned. We can find where it said, Allahu. For instance, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. When it says Allahu, the who at the end of Allah means He. And there is so many references to Allah in the Quran. He. Therefore, you're going to again say, where's the she? And I told you, you can't have any gender. You say, well, Allah is saying He about Himself. Again, this is out of respect. Because there is no gender to Allah. If you did that, you would be comparing Allah to a human, and that doesn't work. Allah is not male-female comparison to us. Now, you might think, well, okay, so this is not a big deal. Trust me, for non-Muslims, it is a very, very big deal. Because they have already imagined that God must be a man because of the reference so many times in their Bible to He. And some of them even say Allah is shaped like a man. Some of them even say that He is built like a man, that He even has, you know, body parts, male parts, things like this. Alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. Some have even said He has like a beard and things like this. Really, wallah, this is what they say. This is their idea. So when we come with our belief, that's why it has such a big effect on those who were borderline going out of Christianity anyway, because they said, oh, this is nonsense. But then you hear about Islam and say, wait a minute, hold on, there's another chance for belief here, because this sounds better. A God that's not like something in the creation. So it doesn't make a big effect. Now, another point. For the people at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they understood about the multiplicity of gods. So when the statement came, La ilaha illallah, and they already knew who was Allah. They had other gods. Allat, Al-Uzza, Al-Manat were like three of their big ones. But they had many. So the statement here was, there is none worthy to be worshipped. La ilaha illallah. None is worthy to be worshipped except Allah. Because Allah does not discount the possibility of other gods being there for people who have made them up. He is not saying that there aren't any made up gods. In fact, He knows full well that these false gods are there. But they don't really exist. This is taghut. Taghut is used in the Quran. Also, Allah says about that, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, لا إكراه في الدين قد بين رشد من الغاية فما يتغوت. تغوت is in this ayah. And the next one, ayah after that, you'll hear the word تغوت again. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجونهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم تغوت. تغوت, hear it again. Take the تغوت. And this is false worship. They've taken false gods to worship beside Allah. And so thus, taghut means that. So as soon as the Prophet ﷺ declared this, the people went crazy. The hadith is clear. It says that after the wahi or revelation comes to him, what does he do? That he goes on top of this small hill, and he starts calling, Beni so-and-so, O tribe so-and-so, such and such a tribe, such a tribe. He called his own tribes, his own people, the clans, to come to him. And they came running. They said, oh my God, what's going on? And he asked them what his status was with them. Before I give you the statement, who am I to you? He said, if I told you that there was an army on the other side of this hill coming, would you believe me? They said, you have never lied to us. We would absolutely believe you. If you said anything, we're going to believe you. He said, then I bear witness to La ilaha illallah wa ana rasulihi. Ana rasuluhu. He said, I am his prophet. There is none to worship except Allah, and I am his messenger to you. This is heavy. This is a very heavy statement, because they understood it so fast that his uncle just got mad right away and cursed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He cursed him. And, of course, Allah cursed his uncle for that, too. But this was actually a very big statement, and they couldn't deal with it. They couldn't answer him. Now, remember, they were very articulate in their language, but nobody came and tried to challenge him on that statement. They just said, well, we don't want to hear it, or he's crazy, or but let's talk about the subject. They can't, because the subject's clear. There is none worthy to be worshipped except the only one and true God, who never has any partners. He's not male, he's not female. He's alone, and he's the supreme architect of the universe. He is the majesty of all majesties. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the most merciful. He is the owner of Jannah. He is the owner of hellfire. He is the one that's the final judge. All of these statements we're saying, you're taking from his names, what could they say? Because this is in their book. This is in the Torah. This is in the Injil. This is mentioned in the Zabur or the Psalms. This is clear. This statement, La ilaha illallah, is too heavy. It is too heavy, and they can't handle it. That's why I said for us as Muslims, when we think about it, when we say it, we have such a big reward with Allah. For the non-Muslim, when they understand it, oh my God, how will they deal with it? So we don't translate it to say, Allah is God, or G_D, we say that it means there is none worthy to be worshipped, except the only one worthy to be worshipped, which is Allah. They might ask you, why do you say Allah instead of God? And we have a program about that. It's called, Why Do Muslims Say Allah? And it's on a CD called Easy Islam. So if you want the easy terms of Islam, pick up that CD, Easy Islam. And I'm telling everybody to copy it and give it out, because it's amazing. I turned by accident just to Surah Al-Hud, which is chapter 11, verse 14. And it's very beautiful, because it has it right in there. La ilaha illa huwa. None worthy to worship except he. And again, this is just meaning a sense of royalty or respect. None worthy to worship except Allah. Him.
And now we've heard some of the various ways to present the meaning of the Shahada based on the understanding of who is Allah, what is our relationship with Allah, and who is Muhammad, and what he means to us. For more like this, visit our internet website at islamalways.com, where we're always open 24 hours a day, and always plenty of free parking.